From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Mary Beth Maziarz.
This morning on The Mountain Life, we'll speak with local author and mindfulness teacher, Rebecca Brenner, about how parents and loved ones can navigate new terrain with a queer child or teenager, as well as hear what's happening with Summit Pride and get a sneak peek at her upcoming book. Then we're joined by the Running With Ed team, here to get you inspired to get a team, a costume, and your running legs together and ready to benefit education in Park City. It's happening on May 17th. That all coming up this hour on The Mountain Life.
This morning, we're delighted to have one of our favorite locals, author, teacher, and parent advocate, Rebecca Brenner, in the studio. Rebecca's writing has been featured in Time Magazine, the LA Times, Tin House, The Rumpus, and many others. She founded Mindful Summit County, a nonprofit focused on moving mindfulness past self-care into community care, and serves on the leadership team of Summit Pride, Park City's LGBTQIA+ community organization. Her debut memoir, Paper House, is being published with Wayfair Books and hits bookstores in June. Rebecca Brenner, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Well, first let's talk for a second about mindfulness. Mindfulness.SummitCounty is the organization you founded. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Mindful Summit County is a pretty new nonprofit here in Park City. It's about 2 years old. And my partner in that, Randy Joe Greenberg, and I have both been teaching mindfulness all over Summit County for the past 20 years, at the hospital, in the school district, at the library. And we came together because we wanted to offer the residents here in Summit County a free option for mindfulness classes, and also to build a community of mindfulness practitioners here, because we both are firm believers and evidence supports that when individuals are healthy and well and embodied and present, that that correlates out into the community, into their parenting, into their relationships, into their work relationships, and that makes a healthier, more mindful, present community, and I'm interested in that.
I am too. Probably it makes our driving situations more pleasant too, when everyone's being a little more present and engaged. Well, how do you see that process of, you know, making yourself more mindless or mindful, sorry, mindful, how does that in practice change a community?
Yeah, well, I think when each of us individually are practicing mindfulness, we're practicing things like slowing down, being more in our bodies, less in our minds, which then makes us less reactive. It makes us curious about the different thoughts that are coming through our sort of patterning of reactivity that we have. And so it becomes a process where we're looking in instead of pointing our finger out. And so when we're doing that, we're creating health and well-being. And then every reaction or interaction we have with people, I should say, becomes a place where we practice that too. And so compassion grows, again, curiosity grows. And in those relationships where there's curiosity and compassion, we can have healthier relationships with one another.
Hmm. If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, we're having a conversation with local mindfulness guru, can we tell you? You probably don't even like that word. Rebecca Brenner. And we're going to talk to her about lots of things in this first half of our show this morning. When you walk through the door of the radio station, Becca, about 20 minutes ago, Mary Beth said to you, you're always so calm. And you said something that caught my attention. You said, it's my hyper focus. Can you expand on that? Because I want some hyper focus.
I was curious about that too, so I'm so glad you asked, Lynn.
Well, I just, and then after that in the conversation, I shared the antidote where my partner will say after 20 years, like, I cannot believe you're reading another book about mindfulness. I'm just fascinated. I'm just so fascinated by and so curious about the human mind, about emotions, about well-being. Mindfulness has had such a huge impact on my life and my relationships in really positive ways that I'm just so interested in it. And so it keeps me endlessly fascinated.
Yes, and then you said, if you are curious about something, continue to follow that trail of curiosity. Tell us more about that. I like that one too.
Well, you know, I've had a really sort of untraditional path in regards to my life and career. And I don't know many things. I remember when I was younger, my dad used to say, oh, the older I get, the less I know. And I would be so annoying, be like, oh, dad, you know. But he was onto something. And the only thing that I can say, one of the only things that I can say for sure that I know is that if something is interesting to you and you're curious about it, that you should follow it and that your life will unfold in really interesting ways when you do that.
The people who talk about law of attraction and some of the universal laws and stuff, I know it's a little out there for some folks, but they talk about desire leads us. Our focus leads us to where we need to be. And so I'm a believer in that, that your curiosity is kind of like a homing device for maybe where your life is leading you at any given moment. Well, let's talk a little bit about parenting and supporting queer kiddos and teenagers. Many people are discovering that family members are not growing up in the traditional routes that many of us all thought they would or that we all would. And so there are a lot of new changes in that terrain. And I know you personally because our kids are in school together and through other things. But I love the approach that you've been taking, which is so many groups that get together are about trauma and they're about distress. And you are coming at it from a different direction, which is really loving and compassionate. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm on the board of Summit Pride and I have a queer kiddo and I am part of a parent group that's umbrellaed underneath Summit Pride, where we meet once a month, parents of queer kiddos, just to be together in community. And when I was thinking of starting that group, you know, I wanted to just come together in joy and celebration of our children. And I know that not every parent sort of enters from that door, and I honor and respect that, and there are places that can support parents on that journey. But for my family, it was a joyful moment when our child shared with us who they really are and that they felt safe enough to share with us. And we saw them really light up and get brighter when we were joyful about it, and that light kept getting brighter and more joyful. And so that curiosity. I'm interested in following that brightness, and I'm interested in creating a space where parents can come together and just be in celebration and support of who their children are.
Wonderful. And what could you tell where that meets in case people would be interested in joining?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best thing is if somebody were interested in joining, they could reach out to me.
Okay.
And I could share that information with them. And I think the easiest way to get a hold of me is just to go to my website, RebeccaBrenner.com.
Spelled exactly like you think.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Well, you are someone who I'm sure, because you're so mindful, you choose your words carefully, you think about them. Words and the whole lexicon surrounding the LGBTQ community and I guess IA plus community, it's confusing to people. And anytime people are confused, they feel as though, I don't know, maybe a little bit off put, but by the whole acronym, they feel like they're left out. And so they feel like maybe, I don't know. So I'm just wondering if you could define some terms. And when you say queer kids, can you define that?
Yeah, so queer can be an umbrella term. I use that term in regards to my child because they're still becoming, and they, you know, we could say they're trans, we could say they're non-binary, we could say they're trans non-binary, but because they're just still unfolding, queer points to that they're just not you know, on a binary, you know, black or white, you know, or boy or girl, that there is a process unfolding and queer sort of holds that space.
Yeah. Okay. If we all look at ourselves and, you know, we're all on a spectrum of gender identity, of sexuality. I remember the time I dressed up as a boy for Halloween. I was like, wow, this is awesome. I don't even care about anything. I just want to have a good time. So I don't know why I say that. Other than I just think that a lot of people right now, especially in this climate where we are having a really hard time identifying with this whole movement of so many kids questioning their own gender identity. And so that's why I brought it up to say that, you know, if we all look at ourselves in many ways, we are all on spectrums. Are we scared of that, do you think? Or I don't know, how do you navigate those waters? Because it's a very emotionally charged topic these days.
Yeah, I mean, two things come to mind that I want to share, and I'll try and remember them and hold the line on that. I think one is what we were talking about at the beginning, is curiosity, right? To be in a state, or mindfulness, right? To have an open mind and to be curious is a groundless state. There's no ground to stand on. And that's a big component of Buddhism, that really that's where the magic happens and really where our strength is, when we can open to the space of not knowing, not having all the answers, of not having ground to stand on. But that can be really scary for a lot of people. A lot of people feel like, no, I want to know the answers, or this is how it is. And kiddos that don't fall into that exact category can sort of agitate that feeling of like, no, this is how it is. The other thing that I want to say is, you know, Harvard just came out with a study a few months ago that, you know, it's less of all the children in the United States of America, less than 1,000 children have any type of puberty blocker or hormonal
less
treatments.
Less than 1,000.
So the reality, or my child is maybe the only child in their school right now that is trans non-binary. One child. So we hear all this talk that it's this huge situation, but that the reality is in what the research and statistics are showing us, is that this is a small group of marginalized people that we are, you know, bringing to the fire. And when there are really bigger issues, really important issues, that as a community, as a species, as people, we really need to be putting our legislators to task, our leaders to task on, not one child in one school in Park City.
Yeah, great point.
And did you have a second thing?
That was the second.
Well, it's an interesting thing for people of our generation. I think when you hear that a teenager is queer, one or trans, one of the first things that comes to mind is fear. It's like Boys Don't Cry, the movie. It's a morality tale about what happens if you're not normative. And that fear gets transferred on to the situation. And the second thing might be, if you're the sex that is being moved away from, is it kind of a rejection of, like, whether it's a rejection of femininity, rejection of masculinity? But it kind of is, because I think that this generation coming up is trying to dissolve that dyadic, you know, social structure in a way that's really freeing and empowering for so many people. If you've just found out that someone in your family or someone that you love or know has a gay kiddo in their life, how can you support them? How can you extend an olive branch of support? Just let them know that you're welcome to listen or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I would do just that. I would, you know, share that with them if I felt comfortable. I would educate myself. You know, I would go to the leaders in sort of the science, the pediatrics that are, you know, working with children that are trans, non-binary, or queer, and I would educate myself on, you know, what is correct and what is not correct. And then I would be curious. I would be quiet, and I would ask the person, or I would ask the child or the teenager, to share with me their experience. And I would get really curious about that. I would see what's lighting them up, what's interesting to them, and I would support them in all the ways that I could.
Yeah, that curiosity is such an interesting piece, isn't it? Because
it is.
I think there is an awkwardness that mm-hmm. comes. A lot of times people feel afraid to misgender someone using the wrong pronouns or using what's sometimes called a dead name, like an old name if the child has chosen a new identity name. And so you end up not wanting to call them anything or to refer to the child. And so this awkwardness grows and grows, and that sense of curiosity just to actually, it becomes this like don't ask, don't tell situation, and it doesn't need to be that.
Yeah, don't be afraid to mess up.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to be wrong. I mean, people will use the wrong pronouns or say the wrong thing. And me and my child aren't upset by that. And we're very happy to correct and, you know, just move on with the conversation. Just don't, you know, if you're genuinely interested in cultivating a relationship with a family member, someone like you had given the example, then just don't be afraid to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. That's how we learn and grow.
That's right.
Yeah. What kinds of questions come your way? Because you are so approachable. I would imagine that a lot of people, other adults who have these questions, who haven't wanted to ask either to expose how much they don't know mm-hmm. or expose some sort of, you know, prejudice that they may be dealing with. What kind of questions do you get?
Yeah, I mean, I do get a lot of questions. I kind of joke that I'm not afraid to ruin your dinner party, so think twice before you want to invite me over for dinner. Because I'm happy just to when people will say things, well, something like, well, all kids, or there's so many kids now, and I will just stick with the facts. Like, no, this is actually what the Harvard study just shared. Or I'll get, well, what if your child changes their mind? And I'm like, then they change their mind. It's okay. Like, this is a child who's growing and changing, and I trust their capacity to tell me who they are when they are, and I trust my capacity to meet them where they are. And so I get that a lot. And then, you know, I really just try and stay focused on being the best parent to my child that I can and not looking at all the things that are happening in the bigger world that I can't control, and staying focused locally on what I can control. So working through and with Summit Pride, meeting with the parent group, and being just the best mom that I can be to my two kids.
Yeah, that's all we want to be, right? Best mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Summit Pride, you mentioned you're on the board of that. Can you tell us about what Summit Pride is, what's the area it serves, and what's going on with it?
So Summit Pride Foundation is also a new nonprofit. It started several years ago as a city task force and has since kind of evolved into its own new nonprofit. And we serve Summit County, and we have some really great things that are coming on the horizon. We have a website, summitpride.org, that we'll be updating and growing our website as we grow. But we have Pride Month coming up in June. And with the new Utah flag ban, where we're no longer allowed, city government is no longer allowed to fly the Pride flag, and same with schools. So in past years, Summit Pride worked with the city to raise a flag at the Miners Hospital, and that won't be happening. But instead, we are doing a really amazing initiative called Raise the Flag, and we are doing that in partnership with Project Rainbow, which is an organization down in Salt Lake City, or out of Salt Lake City. And our goal is to have community members who are allies, businesses, everyone here in Summit County to go to our website and purchase a pride flag. And then we are going to fly those all through June. So really would be an incredible experience for, say, someone like a queer kiddo to, in June, see all of those flags in people's yards and businesses. And we could use volunteers, too, that want to help us distribute those flags. So if people are interested, they can go to our website. And we're going to have a kickoff of our Raise the Flag initiative on June 1st, the beginning of Pride Month. And we're going to meet at PCMR, and we're going to walk to City Park together. And we're going to have a DJ at City Park, drag performances, the Galaxy Band. And if there's enough of us, there's a 200-foot Pride flag that we can borrow, that we could all kind of carry together. And then on June 12th, we're partnering with the Park City Film Series, and we're gonna screen Paris is Burning at the Sandy Auditorium. And that information and community conversation, all of those details will be up on our website. There'll be a queer book launch and crafts celebration at the PC Library with different authors, LGBTQIA plus authors, and crafts coming, information coming on our website. And then June 28th and 29th, we're going to have On Mountain Pride at Deer Valley. So there'll be Ride and Pride Parade at Deer Valley, DJ, snacks, prize drawing. So tons of fun stuff happening for June Pride Month that people can check out summitpride.org to learn more about.
And that's where summitpride.org is where you can also buy the pride flags.
Yes. Yeah. And right now I think we have sold 100 and our goal is 1,000. So those people in our community that are allies and want to show their support, we would love it if you bought.
And you don't have to take it down at the end of June either.
You
can always enjoy it. Well, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about your memoir that's coming out in June.
Yes. So I have been working on this memoir. It's called Paper House for 20 years. I know. So my mom passed away this coming October. It'll be 22 years at the beginning of the opioid epidemic to an opioid overdose. And she was an aspiring poet. And so when she passed away, I inherited a box of her unpublished poetry and journals and stories. And for many years, it sat untouched in my closet. But then when I became a mom, a lot of that sort of trauma from my upbringing surfaced, and so I turned to the box for guidance. And much to my surprise, I started writing poems in response to her poems. Mm-hmm. And so it's a memoir in verse where the poems go back and forth with one another in conversation, and I learned what had happened to my mom that fueled her addiction. Something that she kept very secret and private her whole life that helped me to really understand and have compassion for her and what she was struggling with.
Wow. Wow, what a fascinating way to come to this moment. I'm really happy for you that you get to find this completion and share that with the world.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, wow. Can you, for people who may be listening right now, who may have loved ones who've struggled with opioid addiction, can you give us just a little bit more insight to your mom?
Yeah. Well, so
they can await your book when
yeah.
it comes out.
So the book comes out in June, and we'll do some book launches. And if people are in that position, I would love for them to come just so I can meet them and talk with them in person. My mom, it was the beginning of the opioid epidemic, so she, it wasn't a national story yet, and so it felt like a very personal, private story just behind closed doors in our home. And so it was when doctors were just kind of freely giving them, and they thought that it wasn't a problem, and she became very quickly addicted to them. And so people that have family members, that's just such a big question, but I would say it's really important to take care of you in that situation, to make sure that you have support, that you're taking care of your mental and emotional and physical well-being, and that will make you a better support for anybody in your life that's struggling.
Can you mention again where you're going to have a book signing?
Yeah, I'll have to come back and talk to you guys. But it's things are still developing. But right now, we're going to do a poetry night with Nan Seymour, who is a poet down in Salt Lake City. She does a lot of lake-facing poetry. She's amazing. She and I are going to do an event at the Kimball Art Center on July 12th.
Wonderful.
In the evening. So, again, people can kind of check out my website, RebeccaBrenner.com, for updates.
And that will be, I bet, people will share personal stories, because there's been no life that has been untouched by the opioid epidemic. And to come at it from an artful and reflective way, I'm sure, is going to be of great service to many people who are still processing their own stories and those of the people they love.
Yeah, and it takes time. I mean, the 20 years, I'm grateful now for it being such a long journey, because it's given me that opportunity.
Hmm. Wow. Can we go back before we end our interview here with you to give our listeners a few little mindfulness tricks that they may take throughout their day, week, month, year? Because it's always that one thing that you hear that resonates with you, and it won't, even if it's said 20 different ways, it'll be that one day that you hear something and you go, yes.
Yes. So Randy Joe Greenberg and I, who run Mindful Subic County, we talk about mindfulness superpowers. We talk a lot about this with kids, but I, as an adult, use this all the time. And we talk about it this way because I can be doing these things here, even in the interview, and nobody in the room knows, right? So it's like my hidden superpower. But one is your breath. Your breath is a superpower. So to fully exhale, to just make sure that when you remember, oh, my breath, let every last little bit of breath out. Mm. And just doing that one time starts to bring you out of the mind into the body and back into the moment. It brings that prefrontal cortex back online. And then the other superpower is your body. So to feel your feet in your shoes, just to go to the lowest part of your body from your head and come all the way down and see if you can feel the alive felt sensation of your warm feet in your shoes.
Okay, anyone sitting in traffic right now who would otherwise be getting frustrated, those two things, wow, it helped calm me right here in this very calm studio.
It is so good. And those little things, those you can return to those over and over, and it's easily learned, tricky to master sometimes, but
yeah, it's
what
like a push-up, right? Yeah. Like the more push-ups you do, the stronger you get. The more you exhale, feel your feet, the more presence will come.
Oh, that's wonderful. Rebecca, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. We've been talking with Rebecca Brenner, and she is a wonderful local resource for a lot of things, including mindfulness and curiosity and support with queer kiddos and Summit Pride and writing. So if you're interested in finding out more about any of these things, you can go to Rebecca Brenner's site, which is Rebecca Brenner, BRENNER.com. And also summitpride.org has a lot of information. Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us on The Mountain Life.
Thank you.
Thanks, Becca. Great to see you. Here in the studio with us, it's time to talk about Running with Ed, which is always, oh, it's a community favorite. We've got volunteer Christine Grinney, fundraising chair Noah Singer, and Park City Education Foundation VP of Advancement, Jen Billa. Welcome to all of you, and thanks for continuing, as you do each year, to promote Running with Ed and put it all together.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn.
And Christine, I think I just called you a volunteer, but you're so much more, because you you come in here every year, so you must be like the head honcho of...
You're so nice. I am a volunteer.
She is the head honcho.
I am not. I am the chair of the event, but that doesn't make me any more important than the rest of my committee. So thank you. But yes, we're excited to be back, and we're excited to raise some money and be enthusiastic about what our children need and for the future of Park City.
Yeah, great. So every year we raise about how much, and what's our goal for this year?
Well, last year we raised $325,000, I think.
Yeah. So I think we raised a little more than that, maybe $330,000. Our goal is $325,000. And so we hope to raise that again this year. And that's been our goal the last couple of years. It's amazing because about 1,000 people take part in Running With Ed, and then a lot of those people are also fundraising, and they're doing it with those $5 donations, $50 donations, you know, or $5,000. It's all welcome. So $325 is the goal.
Ooh, that's a lot of money. And Noah, you're the fundraising chair, so what's your big job? How do you approach Running With Ed every year?
Yeah.
And pull that microphone up to
you. Sure. My big job is to have fun, a lot of fun with this crew. And overall, it's just kind of set the strategy and the goal of how we're going to get to that 325, right? So it's about enablement of a lot of students, a lot of parents, and then a lot of people that aren't students or parents in the community. And it's about spreading the word on kind of the importance of it, and then why fundraise, how to fundraise for people that have never done it before. It can be really intimidating. And I have a great team that I work with to do that.
Well, Christine and Noah, I'm curious, are there specific things that are Running With Ed supports that it earmarks, or is it across the whole students, teachers, school? How do you decide where the money goes?
There's a series of programs that Running With Ed supports through the Park City Education Foundation, and those affect students from kindergarten, elementary school, all the way up to graduating seniors, and including sending first-generation college goers off to university with bright futures. So it really affects the entire student population, supporting grants for teachers in classrooms, staff. Something that many people don't understand is that 96% of our tax dollars leave Park City to equalize around the state for other programming. So that's what the Education Foundation is here for, and what Running With Ed is one of the fundraisers to raise money to fill that gap and make sure that all of these really incredibly valuable programs that affect all of the children in the district can continue, and support the teachers and staff with those grant programs and all of their inventive thinking and shaping the future. So,
wow, that's terrific. And I've heard people say this is the most fun fundraiser that they've been a part of. What makes it so entertaining and enjoyable?
Yeah, I'll jump in on that. That's kind of why I joined this whole group. It's in my opinion, it's the true classic local event of the year in Park City. You know, it's in May every year, and spring and summer's coming around, and you get representatives of the community from every single kind of walk of life and lifestyle. So a lot of us are transplants here, whether it's recently or, you know, a decade or two decades ago. But on this day, everyone comes together, and kind of it feels like the most local day of the year is the way I always put it. Mm-hmm. And then it is, because what you're doing is directly impacting that community around you. And yeah, I'd say the 96% also wear costumes, which is, it's not required, but unofficially is. And it's just a good time. And it's good to mention it's not a race. People call it a race. Some people race it. I've raced it. But it's a run. It's a walk. It's just a fun day.
And frankly, you don't have to run at all. I'm here as the chair of the event, and I don't run any of it, but fundraising is really the primary goal. And so it's just a great opportunity for ages 4 to 84 to get involved, and the weather usually cooperates, and it's just the vibrations are super high, and it's been voted the best fundraiser for years and years with Park City's Best, and so it's just, that's why it's one of the best days in Park City.
Yeah, and really every community member can be involved and can be included in this. I wanted to ask about, I think it was you, Noah, who said that fundraising, asking for money, can be really intimidating. And we know here at KBCW, we do it twice a year, and we spend a whole week asking for money. It's easy to do when you really believe in something, and yet you still need some kind of a script that feels authentic. But tell us how, you know, if there are people listening right now who want to go out and really ask for money for education, how do they do it?
So, yes, it is intimidating. Really only the first time you do it, and really only the first ask. So you got it. It's like a lot of things in life. You got to get over that hump. So one thing we did, like on our site, on runningwithed.com, there are a couple, there's literally some scripts and testimonials because it's easier kind of edit than create. So you can go there and you can look, and it gives examples of where the money goes, of how it impacts people all around you that you know. And, but just texting, calling, social media goes a long way. Students have been really phenomenal making little videos about their favorite RC car race or STEM project or art, you know, thing that they've worked on or after school program. And sharing that with a couple people, that if they share that with a few more, kind of that snowball effect goes a long way. And it doesn't have to be a lot. You know, we get a lot of donations for $10, for $15, for $25. And, you know, thankfully we get a lot that are greater than that, but it's, you're not asking, you know, someone for an uncomfortable amount necessarily.
I think it really comes down to articulating, you know, what you're passionate about. And so when there is something, whether it's one of the programs, whether it's the district as a whole, whether it's what your kids are involved with, or the kids of your landscaper, or the kids of you know, your employees. So I think just understanding what's really important to you and being able to talk about that makes the ask so much easier and so meaningful, and it's so authentic. So you do it once and then it can get pretty addictive. So
I just want to say too, Noah is really good. He'll be sending out emails to all the participants and past participants with ideas on how to ask and the scripts and things like that. But the great thing is that if you ask 10 people for $10 each, I mean, suddenly you've raised $100. And is it, you know, $10 doesn't seem like, oh, that's not too much to ask. And probably everyone in town has also been asked by someone else, so now it's their turn to ask. And then the other thing is we have awesome fundraising prizes. So if you know, want to be a teeny bit selfish and go after those prizes, but our sponsors have amazing prizes out there. And the top 20 fundraisers can earn things like gift baskets, gift cards, just like
rounds, the list, of golf.
Rounds of golf. I mean, the list goes on and on. We have some new sponsors this year that are homegrown folks, like Momentous, which is a protein collagen stick pack. I mean, you know, additives to drinks and things. And it's a local company, local parents, and they're supporting us. They're growing their company. And so there's prizes around that too. So there's all different ways to support. And of course your registration supports, you know, we hope people run the race. It's an 8-leg relay race. I don't know if everyone realizes that. We all are so used to running with it. It's the 16th year, but there are 8 legs. And there's a leg for everybody. So there's a couple legs that are a mile. There's some legs that are up the 700 steps of the UOP. And surprisingly, a lot of students run that leg. But you can take the chairlift if you would rather, which is what I've done one year.
Or you can just watch.
Or you can just watch, as Christine does. She drives up there. So, you know, running, the fundraising, you also don't have to be in the race to make a donation or to fundraise, but it definitely makes it more fun. New this year, if you raise $500, you get $100 back. So the registration basically is free. And a lot of the big races do that, and we are finally at the point where we felt Noah's been pushing for this for a while, and we're finally like, okay, we can do that. We can give people their money back from registration if they raise $500. And, you know, that's just asking 10 people for 50. So you don't have to think of it as, oh, this is this giant ask. And then we also need volunteers. You can go on the runningwithed.com website, look for volunteer positions. We need that. Your school needs volunteers for their exchanges. But we really cannot emphasize enough that this is the race, that's the party. We like to say there's 9 parties with a little bit of running in between. Mm-hmm. And that is really true. But if you are a big time runner, you can run the whole thing, and it's just over a marathon. So it really is up to you. We don't ask what legs you're running, that we don't time the race. I mean, there are teams that time it themselves on Strava or whatever, but it really is just a time to come together and support our teachers and students and schools.
If you're not a runner, like you were mentioning, Christine, mm-hmm. like maybe you haven't done it, can you still jump in, and can you walk it? Can you do whatever you like just to be a part of the day?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to be on the course, you probably should be registered. But if you're, you know, if you just want to go out and support or drive by and with the windows down playing Michael Jackson, or if you want to come to the finish party, you know, all those things are options. You know, we're just trying to stress that the real critical point of all of this is to raise money. I mean, the race is fun. It's a beautiful day. Everyone's in costume. There's 1,000 people out on the course. There's all ages. There's, you know, kids who are running just the final leg into the field house. And, like, that is so moving to watch these kids just make that final run. It's so exciting for them. So it's really a cool thing to witness and to be a part of. And it's really, you know, in the DNA of our town. So I would encourage everyone to participate and volunteer. You know, I think you get so much out of doing something like that. So, it's just a really incredibly joyful opportunity.
It sounds like it. And maybe, Jen, you could tell people a little bit. If you're just hearing about this now, if you're hearing about Running with Ed and would like to get involved and haven't in the past, can you just mention how registration works, how much it costs, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go onto runningwithed.com. So that's really easy, the name of the race. By the way, Running with Ed is short for Running with Education. Everyone goes, who's Ed? But it's Running with Education, runningwithed.com. Right now we're in regular registration, so it's $50 for students and educators and $150 for adults. That price will increase to $200 on May 3rd. So we really, really encourage people to register now. That helps us, you know, organize the race a little better. All the swag you're going to get, the t-shirts. You know, if you do want to just run a leg or you don't have a full team of eight, that's okay. You don't have to register as a team. You can just register as a person. Last year we had a team who registered in honor of their daughter and twin sister who had passed away. She was a teacher in the school district, and her twin passed away. And so they walked the first three legs in honor of her sister, and it was so moving. And they, after the third leg, they got in the car and came to the field house for the party. So it really is up to you, and it really does bring people together. There was a special ed team from Ecker who ran two or three legs with one of their students. One of their students was so excited to run the race. Well, you know, you can't run the whole 27 minutes. The whole special ed team put together a team to run with this student on the easiest legs. And then they got in the car and came to the field house. Like, so it really, anyway, go to runningwithed.com. That's where you can register. It's where you can donate. It's where you can volunteer. There's also the competitions going on. So when you register, you assign your point, your registration point, to your school. And all the schools are in competition for the Park City Mountain Grant. So the schools with the highest percentage of registration can win $5,000, $3,000, or $2,000 from Park City Mountain, thanks to Vail Resorts' Epic Promise. And then I do want to mention really quick Christie's, because their sponsorship is covering all the registrations for Park City School District educators. So all Park City School District, any Park City School District employee gets to run for free because of Christie's. So we appreciate that very much.
Well, that's really nice. Okay, let's talk about weather, because, you know, every year about this time, it's like we've never lived in May before. It's our first time ever living through May in Park City, and we forget what it's like in May. So I have known Running with Ed days that, you know, it's like 80 degrees, and other Running with Ed days where it's snowing. So I'm curious, what are the stats on that? How many times has it snowed? And how many times has it been 80?
So definitely the winner is the snow. for sure. I remember one Running with It. I think it was 22 degrees and it was snowing. And, you know, that we don't run across right off the field house where that stream is, because it's always flooding, even in drought years. But that year we still were. So everyone's shoes were wet. The thing is, no matter what the weather was in the morning, by the afternoon, it's gorgeous, even on the snowiest days. Now, I will say, then recent years, it has been warmer. So although 2 years ago we had all that snow, right? We actually had to change the course a little bit.
There
was still so much snow on the course. So I don't think there, in the 16 years we've been doing it, there hasn't been an afternoon that hasn't ended up absolutely gorgeous.
even if it was snowing in the morning.
Well, and if there's something this town knows how to do, it's dress appropriately. So, I mean, you know, wear layers. We've all worn base layer under our Halloween costumes. So whatever the weather, it'll still be incredible. And we'll still have an amazing attendance. So. Yeah.
And for those that aren't familiar or haven't done it, as a reminder, you jump in the car between each leg and you're rotating. So it's not like you're out, you know, unless you're doing it solo, you're not out all day in the weather solo. So it's a good time to warm up.
Noah, have you done it solo?
I did.
I thought so.
I did it the first year after we had it after COVID. I did it solo. I've put a race number on every year since I was 13, and there was no bike races that year. So I said, this is my chance to act like this is it. So I did it solo.
Wow.
Overachiever.
Speaking of bikes, and not to complicate things, but, you know, there's a big population of people now since e-bikes have become, you know, so popular. And, you know, the older set of people who might be interested in joining on a bike, is that allowed? Is it not allowed? What's the word on bikes?
So the trails are open, right? Our permitting is for a running race. And if we brought bikes into it, officially the logistics become quite difficult and it becomes a very different race. Believe me, we've talked about it a lot because, you know, what you say is very true. But again, I think the options we have one runner, he is in his 80s, I'm not going to say his name, and he always does the leg between Treasure and McPullen, which is a mile, and he walks it. And that's taking part, right?
Yeah.
So you can make it however you want it, and however it works for your, we've all had our Achilles and our hips, the knees, you know, it's Park City, right? We've had every surgery. But there's definitely a leg for everybody.
I've had both my knees done, so yes. What have been some of your favorite costumes that you've seen over the years? Because they are really entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, Noah's costume, he won't say it himself, but Noah's part of the box of crayons?
Yeah, the OG
Noah's
crayons.
Noah's the purple crayon, so that's a repeat every year.
Yep.
It's a good one. We've seen lots of people do themes. I mean, teachers have done such an astounding job getting into it with various costumes, so that's always been super fun to see. I've had friends and family out on the course that I've seen bond together with their neighbors and dress up. It could be superheroes. It could be whatever, like a minion thing. Whatever your passion is that year is what people come out as. But then there are some teams that just repeat year after year after year that we keep seeing. My team is the Average Joes, so we're always in our yellow shirts with the red writing, purple crayon. But so there will be some repeats, but there's always some real crowd pleasers, and there are awards for best costume as well that we all vote on. So it's just a fun time to see how creative people
don't forget
get.
The hockey players.
Yeah.
Oh,
gosh.
Full get-up, sticks, masks.
Yes, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Full course.
They run with all the pads on and everything.
And their helmet and hockey sticks.
Yeah.
I will say Treasure Mountain the last 3 years has had some of my favorite costumes because they knew, you know, that Treasure was eventually closing. So one year the theme was Staying Alive. That was disco. Another year the theme was the Titanic, the sinking ship.
And
tuxedos. So, you know, people really have fun with it. I will say Noah's wife, her team has come in first, second, or third in the best costume contest several times. So one year,
many times. They're the Beverly Hills. Who are the Beverly
Hills?
The Scouts. Yeah, they've been jockeys. I should look in my closet. There's like paraphernalia from all of these still. But they do a really, really great job.
And then the names are great. I mean, running from our kids. Yeah. You know, we're fast and we're furious at public education in the United States. I mean, the names are also great.
Anything that includes a pun is already all right with me. Could you just go over really briefly what the general route is so if people see it, they can recognize what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So it starts and finishes at the field house. So it starts at the field house, and it's a big circle even from the field house.
The field house at Kimball Junction.
At Kimball, yes,
Real
sorry.
Basin field
yes,
house.
The Basin Rec field house in Kimball. You go from there to Jeremy Ranch Elementary, Jeremy Ranch Elementary to Ecker up to the Utah Olympic Park, then up the Olympic Park stairs, and then back down to Parley's Park to McPullen,
McPullen to Treasure, Treasure to Trailside, and then Trailside back to the field house. So it's a big circle around Park City. There is a teacher, Pete Stoughton, is running the whole thing this year.
Of course he is. My former co-host on the Mountain Life.
Yes.
Go Pete. What's he going to wear? Do we know?
Really short shorts. I've seen him run. Hi, Pete.
That's great. Okay. So runningwithed.com, right?
Yes, .com.
And do your registration before May 3rd, which is a week from Saturday.
Yes.
So, because then the price goes up.
Yes, then the price goes up. I mean, you can register up to the 15th, which is 2 days before race day. And believe me, people do. This is Park City. We would prefer you didn't. Again, it helps us with organization. And again, it really, it is a lot of partying with some running in between.
Yeah.
And related to registration and fundraising, because that's my role, once you register, you get a link for your fundraising, and you just share that. So once you're a fundraiser, you just share that with people. People aren't Venmoing you or giving you cash. You don't have to organize anything. You just say, this is real, it's legit. You donate here, and we take care of the rest.
Sounds great. Noah, Christine, Jen, always great to see you once a year.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to see you more, but
thanks.
For sure this once a year. Thanks for joining us on the Mountain Life, and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
See you
on the course.
Sounds great. Thanks for listening to The Mountain Life here on KPCW. If you like what you hear, leave us a comment, rate us, and be sure to subscribe to stay on top of all of our show episodes. And if you have an idea for a future episode of The Mountain Life, email us at themountainlife@kpcw.org.